May the peace of Christ be with you. This is Molly Vetter, Senior Pastor of the Westwood United Methodist Church in Los Angeles. Welcome to our Sanctuary Gathering podcast. Here we share the sermon preached on Sunday as a part of our Sanctuary Gathering. We hope that in these words you will be drawn closer to God and made more ready to love your neighbor. As a congregation, we embrace the words of the Hebrew prophet that are etched into the stairs that lead to our building, the calling to do justice, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with our God. We also believe that we're a richer congregation for the diversity of people who participate in our community, and we celebrate the diversity of age, race, gender identity, and sexual orientation that participate in our church. You are welcome in this place, and we hope you will participate. We invite you to do your own theology, to wrestle with questions of faith as we seek out what it means to be faithful Christians today. You're welcome to join us not only by listening in to this podcast, but we also invite you to join in our congregational life. Every Sunday, you're welcome to join us for worship at 9:30 a.m. You can join us in our beautiful sanctuary in Los Angeles at the corner of Warner and Wilshire, or online via our church Facebook page. All are welcome in our midst, and we thank you for being a part of our church. May these moments be a blessing to you today.
The Hebrew Bible reading today is from the book of Psalms, Psalm 33, some selected verses therefrom. Rejoice in the Lord, O you righteous. Delight in praise, O you upright. Praise the Lord with a lyre. Make melody to the Lord with a harp of 10 strings. Sing to the Lord a new song. Play skillfully on the strings with loud shouts. Upright is the word of the Lord, whose work is done in faithfulness. The Lord loves righteousness and justice. The earth is full of the steadfast love of the Lord. By the word of the Lord, the heavens were made, and all their host by the breath of God's mouth. The Lord gathered the waters of the sea as in a bottle, and put the deeps in storehouses. Let all the earth fear the Lord. Let all the inhabitants of the world stand in awe. For the Lord spoke, and it came to be. The Lord commanded, and it stood forth. Our soul waits for the Lord, who is our help and shield. Our heart is glad in the Lord, because we trust in God's holy name. Let your steadfast love, O Lord, be upon us, even as we hope in you. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
This is a reading from Luke chapter 10, verses 38 and 42, through 42. Now, as they went on their way, he entered a village where a woman named Martha welcomed him into her home. She had a sister named Mary, who sat at the Lord's feet and listened to what he was saying. But Martha was distracted by her many tasks. So she came to him and asked, "Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to do all the work by myself? Tell her then to help me." But the Lord answered her, "Martha, Martha, you are worried and distracted by many things. There is need only of one thing. Mary has chosen the better part, which will not be taken away from her." This is the word of God for the people of God. Good morning, church. What a gift, what a privilege to be here this morning with you all in person. And for those of us who are watching this online, welcome. It is a great honor to be here this is my first time preaching here at this beautiful congregation, even though I've been a part of this community for many years. So I want to give a big thanks to Pastor Molly and to all of you for the invitation. I also want to give a big thanks for all of the support of Epic the Echo Park Immigration Center, the ministry that I am a part of and helping to lead through Echo Park United Methodist Church. So on the behalf of our community, we send our greetings and our love and our blessings. Who has heard a sermon preached on this passage before? Raise your hand, please. Many of us, right? And so I would like to invite us this morning, if it's safe, to close our eyes. If you feel safe, to close your eyes. Of course, if you're driving, please don't close your eyes. But I would like to invite us to close our eyes. And I hope, as we do, that we have eyes to see and ears to hear a new word this morning. And all of God's children say, amen. Feminist theologian Elizabeth Schulster Fiorenza reminds us in her groundbreaking book, but she said, feminist practices of biblical interpretation that came out some 20 years ago, that this typologizing of contrasting Mary and Martha began as early as the second century. Long time. People like Augustine and Origen have always put Mary and Martha against each other, and oftentimes putting Mary in the box of demonstrating the contemplative love of God, while Martha, on the other hand, represents the social activism through service of neighbor. Nevertheless, what often gets forgotten in sermons about this passage is that it happens immediately after the parable of the Good Samaritan. Remember that parable where the prestigious teacher of religious law asked Jesus, "What must be done to inherit eternal life?" To much dismay, Jesus tells the story, as he so often does, with a plot twist. The examples to follow in this story are not the priest or the Levite, but a despised Samaritan. Only one who is the Holy Trinity of outsiders, racially, ethnically, and religiously. He's the least likely of heroes, from the POV, as the kids say, or point of view, of the Jewish doctor of law. The Samaritan was somebody who was not only on the wrong theological train tracks, but he was a heretic. He was one who did not serve God properly. And yet it is this very outsider whom Jesus uses as an example of embodying the new reign of God happening in the ministry of Christ. It is important to pick up from the preceding parable in order to use our theological imaginations as we reflect upon this important message that this passage has for us. In these succinct five verses that barely make up 100 words, but yet hold so much wisdom. This passage can be seen as a lexicon about stress and anxiety. In only two verses, verses 40 and 41, there are four different words used to describe worry. First of all, Martha is described as distracted by her work. The Greek word here, perispato, means to be pulled in all directions. Who could relate to that feeling? Martha asked Jesus, "Do you not care? Are you not concerned?" This is similar language used alluding to the Good Samaritan and how the Good Samaritan cares for the robbed and injured man just some seven verses earlier. So Martha asked the question that I think many of us asked, "Lord, do you not care? Do you not care that I'm by myself? Do you not care about unceasing senseless gun violence? Do you not care about wars happening in Ukraine and in our very own border to the south? Do you not care about denominational divides? Do you not care about the countless losses that the whole world has experienced over the last several years? Do you not care about the loved ones that we have lost? Do you not care about isolation and loneliness? Do you not care that I feel by myself, that we feel by ourselves?" The heart of this passage is deceivingly simple, yet disciples and followers of Christ have been trying and failing to interpret it for the last 2,000 years. To follow Jesus alone is impossible. We need each other. Can I get an amen? The story of Mary and Martha is a great reminder of this. Rather than turning themselves against each other, like so many have done in church history, what if the lesson here is discern how Martha's hands and Mary's heart are examples of what it means to be a disciple? As some of the first disciples of Christ, could it be that these sisters have something to teach us about the dichotomies of Christian discipleship? Competition or collaboration is the question. We have read Mary and Martha against each other rather than seeing the collective wisdom that both sisters have to offer us. One of the shifts over the last 500 years in our world is the tendency to make our relationship of the divine so much personalized, so much so that nothing else in the world matters. Our relationship has nothing else to do with other aspects of our lives. Moving away from this hyper-individualistic relationship with God reminds us that we are the body of Christ, the hands and feet of the divine. Therefore, it is necessary to have the hands of Martha and to have the heart of Mary. The hands of Martha in service and the heart of Mary sitting at the feet of our Lord. But what does this mean to sit at the feet of Jesus? Is it literal? Figurative? I believe it is listening to the Word of God. It is spending time with the Lord in prayer in its many forms. It is biblical and theological reflection. It is feasting on the abundant table of God during communion. And it is fellowship with the people of God, like we are all doing this morning, both in person and online, to name a few. This means of grace helps us to better know the heart of God, to better understand the mystery of who God is and the mystery of who we are. I would argue that serving God and our neighbors through acts of love and justice and compassion are only possible as we experience these times of refreshment, as we sit at the feet of the Lord. We both need to sit and serve. Serve and sit. They go hand in hand. They are the sisters of discipleship. I could not find a better expression of the visual representation of having the heart of Mary in the hands of Martha than the Vermeer painting in our bulletins and emails. Not only is this one of the largest paintings by the painter, but it is one of the few overt religious works of art from the 17th century artist. If you look closely at it, you see not only Mary and Martha in contemplation, but our Lord's loving reminder that the acts of service and sitting are necessary for discipleship. Lord knows I need this reminder from time to time, but I'm the only one, right? This duality is none other than our mission in the United Methodist Church, to make disciples for the transformation of the world. They go hand in hand. There can be no discipleship of Christ without the transformation of the world, and there could be no transformation of the world without the transformation of our lives. The animator of the United Methodist Church, John Wesley, or as I like to call him, Juan Wesley, believed that theology was always about transformation, both personal transformation and that of the cosmos. This is why he preached that there could be no holiness without social holiness. This is also why we chose the butterfly as our logo and epic. We are attempting to live out these Methodist values, both the social transformation with our immigrant neighbors and the spiritual transformation with our BIPOC, Black and Indigenous siblings, our queer siblings, our undocumented siblings, and many others. To close, both the parable of the Good Samaritan and the story of the home invasion in Mary's house both exalt one who does the unexpected. The Samaritan helps the Jew in need, while the priest and Levi pass by. In the case of Mary and Martha, the latter is busy doing the traditional tasks assigned to women. In contrast, Mary is going against the social convention and apparently paying no attention to what is expected of women having a guest in their home, and sits and listens to Jesus. Once again, the main character in the parable is a man, and in the narrative, it is a woman. Both passages show that these people, a Samaritan and a woman, whose ability is who demonstrate what it means to be true disciples and followers of the law of God, to be true disciples and followers of Christ. And they show us how to practice the will of God. Furthermore, we are told that Mary sits at the feet of the Lord and listens to what he's saying. This is the only passage in the New Testament that says this. Not even 12 it says this about. The parable of the Good Samaritan calls for a radical obedience, a shift in both that breaks cultural, ethnic, and theological barriers. The story of Mary and Martha is equally radical. See, first of all, we often do not realize that the first one that breaks the rules here is Jesus himself. He is a guest, and against all rules of hospitality, he rebukes Martha, who is his host. And Mary breaks the rules too. Her role as a younger sister, most likely, and one living in the house of her sister, was to help with the various chores, but instead sits at the feet of Jesus and listens to him. In church, I want to close by thanking you, because for many years, you have embodied these dualities of both spiritual transformation and social transformation. I want to thank you for the support of the work we're doing in Echo Park with the Echo Park Immigration Center, the work that you have been doing with many other partnering organizations, with PATH, People Assisting the Homelessness, the work that you've been doing to support the 580 Cafe, the Wesley Foundation down the street at UCLA, and many others, too many to name here. But as I close, I want to remind us that discipleship is about both service and sitting. We never know who God will use, but we do know that God wants to use all of us. It is important to believe in God, but the great news, church, is that God believes in us. God believes in us and invites us to transform the world as it is into the world that it will be, and wants to transform us into the image of Christ as we do both service and sit at the feet of the Lord. Amen.